From CNN's Abby Phillip comes her debut book, A Dream Deferred, Jesse Jackson and the Fight for Black Political Power, a triumphant new look at Jesse Jackson's presidential campaigns of the 1980s and how they changed American politics. Available now wherever books are sold.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in Game Time Decisions on this Wednesday now, December the 20th, 2023, as we get ready to wrap up. Kind of hard to believe here that 2024 is just around the corner, but so much still to be determined in a number of sports. Before we get there, we have a loaded slate tonight that'll help us get a little bit closer to understanding exactly the contenders or maybe pretenders in some sports, especially college basketball. The NBA. We got a light slate in the NHL, but we've got much to dive into here. I'm Joe Ranieri. It's the Sports Grid Network. We certainly appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us here as maybe the headliners tonight. We can take a look here in college basketball because there are some huge games here tonight on the college basketball slate, and maybe none bigger than the Baylor Bears hanging out in Madison Square Garden, getting ready to take on the Duke Blue Devils. This is going to be 7 o'clock Eastern time tip here with, as you can see, 2.5 there with Duke. This was 3.5 is what Duke was laying there this morning, but it appears that some folks seem to be liking the Baylor Bears here and have pushed this thing down to just about a bucket, a absolutely huge one, simply because there are a lot of question marks about both of these teams, Duke especially, and we've got to see whether or not there's going to be any confirmation as far as whether Duke's best guard here, Proctor, is going to be able to go tonight. But you're also talking about a Baylor Bears team that just got smoked by Michigan State over the weekend. So are they as good as they think they are? Is Duke as good as we think they are? Well, this game's going to help us get a much better idea on both of those questions as we welcome in our radio audience here on this Wednesday. It is Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Great college basketball slate of games here tonight, including, how about it, Oklahoma traveling to North Carolina to take on the Tar Heels. That's right, in Charlotte, the Jumpman tournament there in honor of the GOAT there, Michael Jordan. And what a battle this is going to be. It's interesting at this time of year, and we often warn bettors, if you're new to college basketball and college basketball betting, be very careful about what you see in November and December with teams because it's an evolving process here with coaches and college basketball players. And we have many times seen what looks and who looks great in November and December doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be looking all of that good come February and March, and vice versa there. You also have teams that don't look good this time of year, and yet by the time we get to the end of February and we get ready for March Madness, well, they all of a sudden have a shot at a national championship. So there is a lot going on here tonight to kind of give us that first big litmus test before the calendar strikes January 1st. And we told you Baylor and Duke going to headline Madison Square Garden. That's one of the big matchups here tonight. And the other will be this one with Oklahoma, Porter Moser, quietly one of the best coaches in all of college basketball that nobody seems to talk about here. He has got a really, and I mean really, good Oklahoma team that many people believe, well, maybe they're just not as good as their record says they are, a 10-1. And yet, you know what happens when the public hears North Carolina. Well, they immediately just think, well, this is a North Carolina team that absolutely can win a national championship. And they certainly have the talent to do so. But this Oklahoma team, I would not be sleeping on them getting points. I don't want to say it's a neutral site. Obviously, being in Charlotte, North Carolina, I would imagine there might be a few Tar Heel fans here tonight. But my goodness, this is going to be an absolute battle. Oklahoma, very well coached, very well disciplined, loves to play defense, loves to get the ball inside, and they don't mind passing the ball instead of playing ISO ball. The Tar Heels started off really good. It's been a rough little stretch here over the last couple of weeks. They would love nothing more than in their own backyard to be able to beat OU here tonight and to start the 2024 conference season with winning this Jumpman tournament. So there is a lot coming up here tonight in college basketball. The real start here of this college basketball season, and there's a lot of these big brand teams that are looking to kind of make a name for themselves here. And as they get ready for conference play, and we saw a couple of conference battles last night, the Big East off and running, the SEC. And this is kind of these last-minute tournaments here where you have an opportunity to build your resume with your quadrant one, two, or three games in non-conference before you have to dive into a brutal slate of Big Ten basketball, Big East basketball, Big 12 basketball. So there is these games over the next couple of days are going to be an awful lot of fun to see, including one coming up here tonight with Arizona. The Wildcats taking on Alabama. Now, the Wildcats are coming off an 8-point loss to the Purdue Boilermakers, who, by the way, are now the number one team in the country, according to the AP poll. Arizona now has to host an SEC team here that not exactly the kind of results that Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide were hoping for here. Again, a lot of new faces there in Alabama. They lost a ton from that team. The style is still very much Alabama and Nate Oates. They are going to run. They're going to love to run. But you know who else loves to run and shoot? Yeah, that's going to be Arizona. So get ready for what might be the highest scoring game of the night as the Wildcats look to bounce back there with that loss against Purdue. I think this is going to be one of the most exciting games of the night. And then you have what many people believe is the team. Well, they're defending champs, are they not? But there's a lot of folks that I know that are out there and getting themselves some national championship future tickets on UConn to do it again, and why not? This team is scary if you guys have not had a chance to see him here. Very tricky matchup here tonight against Seton Hall. This is one we should absolutely keep an eye on here. Not that UConn's not a better team than Seton Hall. I think they most certainly are. But Seton Hall is very capable of being able to take down UConn, and that's not how you want to end 2023 and get ready for 2024 with a loss to Seton Hall. We'll have more in college basketball and take a look at the NBA slate next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday. Want to thank you so much for hanging with us here as we get ready for another loaded slate of action across the board. We got great college basketball games coming up tonight. We've got a loaded slate in the association, the NBA, and light card here tonight in the NHL. But we've got three games that could very well prove to be quite profitable here, and we've got nobody better but Mr. George Kurtz to help us navigate these three games. And I got to tell you here, Kurtz, last night you and I were sitting in these very spots here talking about this team, the New York Islanders. Have you ever heard of them? And we had talked about how this was going to be quite the shootout last night in that spot. And wow, I just can't figure this team out. Every time I want to bet an over with the Islanders, they figure out, weren't they missing all their defensemen last night? Now they got to take on the Capitals. And I believe, 5.5 again here tonight?
I mean, you mentioned it last night against the Oilers here. I put up all the stats last night, right? The Islanders in the previous 10 games, averaging 3.8 goals given up against, you know, we're not talking about top-notch teams here. All right, and Edmonton last night, yeah. Edmonton had a truckload of shots but couldn't score. Right, they couldn't get the puck in there. The Islanders were blocked. The Islanders had a game plan last night, which is a little unusual, Joe, in the NHL for one game. You know, you don't really game plan all that much. So they, you know, they had a game plan to block shots, which they did. So they blocked a ton of shots there. Good for them. Tonight, they're playing on a second half of back-to-back. Washington is not. Now, Washington, they split two earlier games this season, but Washington dominated those games. Now, this is before the Islanders sort of became the Islanders we're seeing now. So maybe we throw those games out here. But still, second half of back-to-back nights. And last time the Islanders played back-to-back was Friday and Saturday. They played a big game against Boston on Friday, lost in overtime. Saturday, they barely showed up against Montreal. They were down 4-0. They finally showed up in the third period to make it 4-3, to make it look closer than it actually was. I'm going back to the well tonight. I'm going to go Washington coming off a not playing last night. And 5.5, I know Washington doesn't score a lot of goals. I know that. Islanders do. All right. Also, the Islanders are a goal-scoring machine here. Go figure here. I'm going to go the over here. The Islanders, I believe, I heard the stat last night. They've scored at least 3 goals in 10 straight games for the first time in 30 years. 30 wow. years. 3 goals in 10 straight games. At least 3 in 10 straight games.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this has been, no doubt, George, it's been a long, long time since we've seen this kind of offensive stretch from the New York Islanders. 10-2-5, I believe, over the last 17 games here. You had mentioned at least 3 in 16 of the 17. It's kind of hard. Now, I mean, the question is how sustainable is this from the Islanders? Are you confident with this roster and what they get that they can, and we all assume Edmonton and the Kings this year, these are teams that they're going to be 4 or 5 goals a game and we're good to go. Is it sustainable with this Islanders team here with 17 games like this? Can they keep that going up throughout the season?
Probably not. I mean, they pretty much are a one-line team, right? Bo Horvat and Matthew Barzal. With Brock Nelson centering the second line, he's a legitimate scorer, too. But teams will clamp down on that. Right now, I mean, Holmstrom seems to be scoring a shorthanded goal a game. That's going to stop, right? So I don't think it's sustainable, but I don't think they're going to go back to being, you know, the 2-1 Islanders. I think, listen, as a fan, Joe, they're more fun to watch. They're just because they play offensive hockey. They're fun to watch now, which they never were, right? For decades, they're like boring. Right? You're playing the trap, playing boring hockey, and now they're fun to watch. They have a power play. They have offense. So do I think it's sustainable throughout the whole year? No. But we're going to ride it while they're still doing it. They've been doing it now for at least a month, so we'll continue that streak.
What did they mention who the goalie was going to be tonight for the Islanders?
It'll be Varlamov. They always separate. So it'll be Varlamov coming in tonight for the Islanders here. Sorokin played great last night. Big part of this why they won the game was because of Ilya Sorokin. Varlamov has played well also. I wouldn't downgrade the Islanders all that much for Varlamov being in net. I do downgrade for what you already said. Those three defensemen that were out last night, they ain't coming back tonight either.
Nope. No, they are not here. So that game, puck on a drop, 7:30 against the Caps, who kind of mirror the Islanders as far as the record goes, 15-9-4 in D.C. when that puck drops. Another 7:30 game here. The Red Wings here, Kurtz, cannot buy a win here. Kind of absolutely crazy there. What, six of the last seven they have lost here? They're dealing with all sorts of goaltending issues. Everyone's hurt. Nobody's any good. Now they got to take on the Winnipeg Jets here tonight. So is it an over? How do you approach this game here tonight?
You know, it's funny when you bring up the goaltending for Detroit. They've caught a lot of flack this season because they're keeping three goaltenders on their roster. Generally, NHL teams don't do that. You don't do that, right? You keep two. It was the old saying, if you have three, you don't have one. I mean, you don't trust anybody here. But they were afraid to send one down that they'd be claimed. And to tell you the truth, they're probably right. I mean, Husso, Reimer, Lyon, they're all NHL goaltenders. We could argue if any of them is a goaltending one. I think they're all good backups here. That being said, well, they lost Lyon over the weekend. All right, he got hurt.
Yep.
Then they lost Husso on Monday. He got hurt. They're down to one goaltender now, James Reimer here. And I believe, by the way, I don't think Hellebuck's playing tonight. I think Brassard's playing tonight there. So we got two backups here.
Yep.
Give me the over.
Yep.
Absolutely give me the over here. I don't know if I love Winnipeg on the minus 160. I don't think I'm doing that here. Keep in mind, Dylan Larkin, remember, he got rocked, and he got literally knocked out, knocked out cold here. That was a problem for a while for them. He's back now, and he can play. So he's back. I think that'll help the Detroit Red Wings. But that being said, I do like Peg tonight and the over.
So the late game here tonight, interesting there, Kraken. That's right. The Seattle Kraken find themselves maybe in the right spot at the right time here, Kurtz, as the Kings on the second of a back-to-back here. Kraken, I think, Saturday night, they played the Kings, did they not? They ended up losing 3-2 in a shootout, but it was a hell of a game. So what are we thinking here tonight? Can they get one on the road against the Kings tonight as a nice dog?
That was a long shootout on Saturday night between the Kings and the Kraken. I think I had Talbot for the win somewhere, so I had to sweat that out. I think it went like 8-9 shooters, and I'm screaming my lungs out here. Because I one time they should have won, whatever. They won. Didn't know what mattered here. So it's a rematch here. I know I complained yesterday that Rittich was playing goalie for the Kings because I really wanted to bet the Kings heavy last night, but I didn't trust Rittich. Rittich played great. Or maybe it's just that, the Kings – really good on defense, but Joe Ranieri or I could play goaltender and it wouldn't matter for this.
That's true.
I always worry back-to-back nights. Kings are playing back-to-back. Yep. Seattle's not. So Seattle's going with their backup goaltender, the core, because Grubauer's out. I still like the Kings, but I'm gonna go with Seattle here. Give me the plus money with Seattle here. It's just a gut feel, back-to-back nights. There was a good game on Saturday. Seattle pulls it out tonight. I kind of have a feeling it's going over as well. I'm not going to take that. Ooh. But I've got a feeling this smells like a 4-2, 4-3 game to me.
Ooh, all right. So we got, like I said, only three games here on the ice tonight. So give me one of those fantastic parlays you're known for in the NHL with these teams. What are we playing here tonight?
I don't know if any parlays are great. I would definitely take Peg, right? I would take Peg here. And I think if you're going to take a parlay, you're probably going to have to go back with the Kings. Do we trust the Islanders enough? No, I don't trust Washington. So I think you're going to have to go with the Kings, even though I like Seattle because I'm going to take the plus money here. I think you're going for a parlay. You're probably going to two favorites, Peg and Kings.
Can't we take all three dogs and call and it pray? A scratch-off lotto ticket? I don't – are we really praying? No, I mean, these are all very winnable games, though, for all the dogs, are they not?
We don't like Detroit all that much. We don't like Detroit. No. But, yes, I don't like it. I think it's going to be all close games. I think we could have a whole bunch of one-goal games tonight. So, yeah, to your point, yeah, it could be that close.
Get ready. Could be a big ticket here tonight. Kurtz, always a pleasure, man. Let's cash this dog parlay. You just sucked me up into playing here. We appreciate it. We'll talk some NBA coming up next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday in the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, joined by Mark Zeno, stepping in on this night where the hardwood is busy, not just in college basketball, but of course the NBA as well. We'll get to some of those games. But at the top of coming up here in about 40 minutes or so, Madison Square Garden is going to be the epicenter of this slate tonight, when number 10 Baylor getting ready to take on number 21 Duke. So neutral site here. I thought it would be maybe a pick'em or maybe Duke minus one, but it does seem that Duke has gotten some love in the marketplace throughout the day, and Baylor trying to wipe that stench of that beatdown that Michigan State gave them over the weekend. But quite honestly, is there anything that we can trust from what we've seen from Duke that they'll step up in this spot?
No. I mean, look, offensively, they're really good, right? I mean, this is a team that's ninth in America in offensive adjusted efficiency, right? So it's not like this is a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. But they are going up against the number one three-point shooting team in all of college basketball in Baylor. And unless you can defend the three, which Duke can moderately, it could be a very quick, you know, game for the Blue Devils if they start to get from behind and can't play well. Both of these teams seem to play with pace, and they're both very good on the offensive end. So really it comes down to who's going to stop guys from making more shots. And, you know, I would give the edge to Baylor in that category, that I think they're just probably a little bit better on the defensive end. And, you know, if Baylor can turn around and force some turnovers here and control the ball in a very neutral environment, right? Like, this is going to be a fun environment. I know it's, you know, it's Madison Square Garden, and these two teams usually don't get a chance to play there. You hope some of the kids don't get wowed by the arena and where they are. But again, this is a very good and talented offensive Baylor team, and they should bounce back tonight.
Yeah, I think there are going to be a lot of points in this game, too. I think it should be a whole lot of fun. The place is going to be rocking here. Also, another huge game. I love that we're just before we turn the calendar here, Zin, we've got, you know, conference playing going on here. We've got in the Big East, right? UConn, number 5 in the country. Hard to believe because many people think this is it is their championship once again to defend and maybe pull back to back here. They're certainly good enough, but they are going to take on a very dangerous, I think, Seton Hall team that beat down what I thought was a pretty good Missouri team, and they did it without any question. So Holloway's got these kids believing, very athletic, very big. Will they have enough to be able to keep this within 8.5 tonight?
It's a big number. And for the first game in conference play, it kind of feels like this, you know, Seton Hall is the side to favor. Seton Hall's biggest problem is they can't shoot the three. And whenever you can't do that, if you start to trail, guess what? You don't have a way, you don't have a path back in without making three-pointers. And so that's what Seton Hall has to do. They've got to slow this pace down as much as they can. They've got to grind this thing and don't let Connecticut get out and run, because Connecticut is a team, you know, that plays with you know, efficiency on the offensive end, but they don't play fast. So that can work to Seton Hall's advantage. They're 315th in the country in adjusted tempo. So there's only about 66 possessions a game for UConn. They just make the most of it because they shoot really, really well, and that, you know, obviously helps them. So this is a Seton Hall team this year that hasn't really been as good on the defensive end as I would have thought they were. But again, 8.5 points in the opening conference game is a lot to lay, especially on the road here.
Yeah, no, it truly is here. But this team is certainly poised to be able to run it back one more time. They are good once again here. Also pretty good, I guess we can say, down in North Carolina are the Tar Heels. But I think they're going to have their hands full here tonight with Oklahoma and Porter Moser. And it's funny, they're 10-1, I think, Zin, and we're still questioning whether or not this team is any good. They got one of the best coaches nobody talks about in the country. They're older, they're very efficient offensively and defensively, and I can't help but to think, like, North Carolina, they're just so overvalued this time of year. neutral site, sort of? Can I get you into OU?
Yeah, a lot. Very much so. I know this game is in Carolina. Like, it's in Charlotte. Right. But Oklahoma feels like the right side. Look, this is a Tar Heels team. Gives up 75 points per game. It's not good. Like, you know, you don't want to do that to one of the top 20 scoring teams in the nation in Oklahoma. Like, I mean, that is a considerable difference here. And unless Oklahoma is flat out just missing shots, which I don't think they'll do, especially because they're big inside, right? And this is a team that's 7th in 2-point shooting in the country. So the close ones they tend to make. As long as they're doing that, they should be fine. They don't have to be green this game. That's Carolina's advantage because they are very good at from three. But still, you know, again, I think Oklahoma is the right side here. I'm with you that North Carolina's overvalued, and this is not a team right now that I want to back. Not until that defense gets fixed.
Ultimately, I think these two teams are two teams we're going to be talking a lot leading up into March. And also these next two teams, the late night game tonight is fantastic with Arizona taking on Alabama. It might be just the highest scoring game of the night, but as you can see there, 7.5 with Arizona coming off that loss to Purdue. And listen, Alabama has been fantastic, Nate Oates, running, scoring, but they don't play any defense, which is very uncharacteristic of Alabama. Is it just an over in this game? What are we looking at?
You're not going to get me to put money on a total. Both teams have to get to 90 for it to clear. Like, you know, I'm not, that's not where I'm going. Like, it's just not happening because, you know, to get to 1-8, that's insane. That said, these are literally probably 1 and 1A as far as the best offensive teams in the country. But here's the thing. You know, I think it's just way too many points to give the number one team in adjusted offensive efficiency. That's number one. So I'm going to back Alabama here. I mean, both of these teams are very close statistically in shooting, three-point shooting, effective field goal percentage. And yes, Arizona has the better defense of the two. But facing good defenses hasn't stopped Alabama from scoring this year. The Tide have faced one of the toughest schedules in the country, and they have played the better offenses by far this year. So I think that Alabama has been a little bit more battle-tested here. I know they also lost to Purdue, just like Arizona did. A little bit of an anti-swagger spot here for Arizona. I know the game is in the state of Arizona, but it's not on Arizona's campus in Tucson. It is in Phoenix. So, yeah, I think it'll be a heavy, you know, Arizona crowd, but still, this is a game probably where Arizona ekes out a one or two possession win. But once you got to me to that three possession range here, Joe, it was enough for me to take the best offensive team in the country in Alabama.
So one of the more disappointing teams to me so far is Villanova. I thought they'd be much better offensively than what they have been because they've been in. I don't know why you keep shooting the three when you don't make any. Because with Dixon and you are more than capable of staying inside the paint and scoring on anybody, but you continue just to chuck up threes that don't go in. And now you got to go to Creighton and take on them who. That three-headed monster is absurd with Kyle Brenner there in the middle. Everybody can shoot. Unless they can turn it around, I don't see how Creighton doesn't win this game going away.
Okay, Joe, so here's the thing. The Creighton Blue Jays, they average 93.7 points per game at home. And this game is on their home floor. They have the second-best effective field goal percentage in the country. Their three-point shooting is top 25 in America. That's bad for the Wildcats. When they're 306 in three-point percentage field goal defense. So that doesn't help them. The Wildcats offense just doesn't have the firepower to keep up with Creighton. Villanova shoots just 40% in the field. That's 304th in the nation. And both of these teams play so slow. So the Blue Jays, again, will have to miss shots in order for Villanova to stay close. But here's the thing. Creighton scores 43.5 points in the first half. That's 7th best in the country. And the Blue Jays are also covering 62% of their games over the last three seasons when playing a team with a winning record. The old adage here for me, if they ain't covering early, they ain't covering late. Not crazy about laying a half, but I'll lay the four with Creighton in the first half here. They should get out to a sizable lead, and I would worry about Villanova sneaking into the back door late.
Oh, I don't hate that one at all there, that first half look. I think there's absolutely some value in that one because, let's face it here, you know what the best part about Creighton is, you're going to know in the first half what kind of game you're going to get from them. Because we have seen when they can't hit water if they fell out of a boat early, they're done. Like, it's just Colorado, they can never get back into ELV. It.
I mean, those
exactly.
are the,
exactly done.
5 minutes yep. in, I'll know if my pick's dead or not, and I can turn the TV off and not have to worry
so
about
true.
It.
So true. That's why you got to love about that team for sure there. So you got to love Big East action all throughout here, set up here today. I love the Johnnies. I don't know that I love them here in this spot against Xavier, who might be the most confusing team ever here. I would expect more from Coach Miller, but I don't know. Did Pitino turn around these Johnnies here at 7-3? They are home. Carneseca.
Look, that is one of the best home court advantages in all of college basketball. They've won 63% of their games at Carneseca Arena. Here's the way I'm playing this one, right? Because I don't want to lay 6.5 with St. John's. Xavier has been very good against them the last couple of years. 6-16 St. John's is against Xavier straight up in the last 22 matchups. So that doesn't inspire me with a confidence. St. John's also has UConn on deck, maybe a little bit of a look-ahead spot. That said, I still trust the St. John's offense. They shoot 35% from beyond the arc, and they average 40.3 points per game in the first half. That's 30th in the nation. This total for this game, 157.5. Joe, the first half total, 74.5. My only concern, Xavier only scores 31 points in the first half per game on the road this year. They get above 35. St. John's does the rest, gets us to 40, and we go over 74.5 in the first half.
Don't hate that at all. Expecting more for Xavier to turn this thing around. All right, don't go anywhere. We're going to talk some NBA when Game Time Decisions returns here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. It is a Wednesday now, the 20th of December, as we count down the days until 2024 arrives. And we've got a lot over these next 10, 11 days here going on in the sports world. We just talked some great college basketball action as conference play begins here, certainly in the Big East tonight. Some great games. Well, the NBA, it used to be, Zin, that the NBA, the official season obviously starts, you know, a month and a half ago. But Christmas was always the day that we circled with the NBA. They owned it. That's really when the season started. Up to this point, nobody really cared. And obviously, you know, Adam Silver and company realized that as well. So they gave us this whole in-season tournament. And now we've got guys that we, you know, trying and not sitting out and load management. So kudos. When things work, as radical as they may be, I'm good. I think the game and more interest in the NBA to this particular point where people couldn't help but to watch NBA games before Christmas, which during an NFL season is a pretty smart move there by the NBA. Now, having said that, there are a few teams, I think, that maybe ran out of gas trying to show up in that. And I think the Lakers are that team. I mean, they expended a lot of energy trying to win that whatever the hell it was that they put up in the rafters there the other night. Now they got to go to Chicago to take on a Bulls team that sits there, their number one star player, and they actually are playing better basketball now than they have, and I can't remember how long. They're getting four and a half at home. Call me crazy. I think the Lakers need a couple of days off here to recharge the batteries.
Yeah, well, losing three or four since the in-season tournament was probably only punctuated by the fact that one of those losses was to the San Antonio Spurs, who couldn't beat anybody straight month and a half of the season. So that ought to tell you. And you know, look, staying with this same theme here, on the flip side, it's not like the Indiana Pacers have been playing great since they went to the in-season tournament either. They've struggled mightily. In certain spots, I thought they were going to excel. They're playing Charlotte tonight. I'm really curious to see how this game plays out because, I've just kind of decided I'm going to wait another week or so before I bet either one of these teams in L.A., the Lakers and Indiana, to figure out what they are, because I just don't know how much that in-season tournament really mattered to them, or was it? Is there something else going on here? I mean, Indiana doesn't look like they're not scoring still, right? They're just not winning. So what does that tell you? I mean, they scored 127, 137, 126. I mean, and they've also played some really good competition along the way in Milwaukee and Minnesota and the Clippers. You know, it's not like they've been getting beat by bad teams. That said, they did lose to Washington, so there is that. I don't know. The in-season tournament to me is something that we're going to have to wait and see. And one more note here. You know, once we decided that the NBA began on Christmas Day and everybody thought that was a thing and the NBA made a big deal about it, all the NFL did was swoop in and go, screw your basketball. Here's three football games on Christmas Day.
There's a lot of truth to that, too. So whole lot going on this Christmas, and nobody's going to watch the NBA. But that's all right. Listen, it's nice. It used to be where we didn't have a whole lot except for those NBA games. But this year, we're going to have a whole lot to go over this weekend. But we do have some intriguing spots here tonight for some teams. And I'll start in Philadelphia, as they're going to host a Timberwolves team, which 20-5, Zin. They're the best defensive team in the NBA by far. They've remained healthy. Anthony Edwards is a machine. Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns have figured it out. And, well, now the problem is, though, you got to go to Philadelphia and take on Embiid and company here, who are pretty good offensively as well. Something's got to give. Is it the offense of the Sixers that wins this, or does the defense of the Timberwolves win this game?
Well, I look at it from the other side. I mean, is the Sixers defense good enough to shut down the Timberwolves offense? Because I think on the other end, a lot of this cancels each other out. Now, the Sixers defense is still very good. They're very physical. But this is a Minnesota offense that doesn't exactly light up the scoreboard. Yeah, they've got Anthony Edwards, and they got some guys who can fill up the bucket. But on the macro level, it's not an offense that you're going to see scoring 120 points a game. So to go on the road into Philadelphia, you know, my natural inclination is to say, like, oh, I'm the best defense in the league is getting 3.5 points. I'll take them. However, you know, this is just a very tough spot here for Minnesota and a short number for a team like Philadelphia. We've seen Philadelphia handle Boston well. We've seen them handle other teams, other good teams well. This is not a spot where Philadelphia is afraid of the moment or anything. Minnesota has more to prove in this game than Philadelphia does. It feels very chalky, but I think Philadelphia is the right side.
Yeah, I mean, Embiid, 11 straight of, 30 points and at least 10 boards. The guy's an absolute machine here. So I am too. Let's see how good this defense is. Defense travels, right? So let's see how good this defense of Timberwolves really is going up against one of the most electric offenses in the NBA. We also have another interesting game here in New York at the Barclays Center, where the Nets taking on the Knicks here. It's like a pick'em price here, but no Mitchell Robinson, the best defender, gone. The Knicks coming back from that West Coast trip there where they were able to get one from the Lakers. I can't help but to think maybe the home team is the way to go here in the Nets. What are you thinking?
I mean, the Nets to me are such a hard handicap to figure out night in and night out, like when you watch them. You know, I mean, and their record kind of speaks to it, right? It's like they're out on this West Coast trip here. You know, they get beat pretty soundly by Sacramento. Then they bounce back the next bite and beat Phoenix. And then they get smoked by Denver and push Golden State to limit. Then they lose to a bad Utah team that can't stop anybody and they only scored 108 points. I mean, you know, they are just – I have not had a lot of luck figuring out which team is going to show up night in and night out. I can really say the same about the Knicks for the record, but, you know, there are nights where the Knicks offense wakes up and they score 120. You're like, wow, why don't they do this every game? And then you've seen them score 102 and lose a game 105, 102, and you bang your head against the wall as a Knicks fan going, the hell is going on around here? So, you know, I think the Knicks in this spot here in a pick 'em price, I'd like to think that they are the right side, but this is probably a stay away game for me. And when you look at the total too at 232, that feels high for these two teams, especially where the Nets have played as of late. I mean, both of these teams are coming off West Coast trips. They're both kind of tired. Like, doesn't it feel like a spot here where after a 4-game West Coast swing for the Knicks and a 5-game West Coast trip for Brooklyn, you just got some tired legs and a little bit of lag time here before they play this game tonight?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's fair. You're right. Those last couple of games were terrible for Brooklyn. Bridges couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. Cam Thomas, who's always good for 30 or more in a prop somewhere along the lines there, he wasn't any good. When those two guys are scoring, buckle up. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. But when they don't, this is not going to be a whole lot of fun watching the Brooklyn Nets. I don't know what to do with your Hawks here because the Rockets clearly have issues on the road. Although they played tough, I thought they had a shot to beat Cleveland there the other night. I thought it was great. They ended up losing it in overtime. But they are pretty good at home. And here we are laying, what, a bucket here? 3.5 against your Atlanta team, who I thought figured some things out. That last game in Toronto, I loved it. They should be better than 11-15, should they not?
Well, you can't be better than 11-15 when you flat out just don't play defense. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation here. But here's the thing. The Hawks are just 6-8 straight up on the road, and the Rockets are 10-1-1 against the number, 11-1 straight up at home this year. They allow just 97.8 points per game at home, by far the best in the NBA. You know, and they've allowed more than 106 points at home just once this year, which is crazy because they're going up against a really good offensive team in Atlanta. The Hawks have won just two of their last eight road games. They beat the Spurs. And you mentioned the Raptors on the tail end of a back-to-back where they already played them. So advantage there. Atlanta's just 1-7 against the number over their last eight on the road. And for being one of the top offenses in the league, they're only 6-7-1 to the over on the road. All this adds up for me to say that Houston's defense should be able to contain Atlanta. I got to tell you, though, Joe, you know, I made this bet early this morning and got -3. It's moved to 2.5. And I am verily nervous here about why that number would move in that direction. You know, I haven't seen anybody out. The Rockets are definitely the healthier team. The Hawks are missing Jalen Johnson. They're missing A.J. Griffith. Bogdanovich is questionable. So there's a lot of questions about this team in the depth right now. I'm trying to ignore all the noise and just believe that Houston at home and their defense is going to do enough to win this game. But I'm not going to go into it saying I'm not nervous at this point because the fact that it moved to 2.5 was a little bit more of a, you know, little tight around the collar.
Yeah. Well, it's always that concept of that first game back after a long road trip. And the fact that they're only 2-10 on the road is kind of mind-blowing because I thought defense traveled, right? So if you can play that kind of defense with Udoka, you wouldn't have a problem on the road. You, by accident, you could win 50% of those games, but 2-10 is rough here. 8 o'clock, that one is going to tip off. Who in their right mind's getting in front of the Lakers, the Clippers train right now? Maybe Dallas? Is Doncic maybe the kryptonite here for the Clippers to slow them down a little bit?
You know, I looked at this number initially, and I saw Dallas as a home dog, and I said, ooh, that's appetizing. And then I saw them playing the Clippers, and I went, ooh, now I don't really want to get involved here because the Clippers seem to have figured it out. After that six-game losing streak when James Harden got back and we all wrote them off like, okay, there we go again. James Harden just kills teams, kills, you know, locker rooms, and everybody sings it. God, they've been phenomenal. I mean, this is a very good Clippers team, both offensively and defensively. And again, like if they don't have that six, let's just say they split that six games and go, they're 19-7 and one of the best teams in the league, right? We just, you know, we keep looking at that 16-10 record. I think this game feels like an over just because Dallas doesn't play that great a defense and they score a lot more at home. But man, so, like you said, stepping in front of that Clippers train right now, but the Clippers offense, you know, in the last five games, the fewest they've scored is 119, including a 140 burger and a 150 burger in the last two. So, if Dallas isn't going to play defense, it's going to be hard for me to back them. I would lean Clippers and lay the bucket.
Depth is definitely a problem for Dallas. No Kyrie again. It looks like it's going to be six straight for him that he is out. Derek Lively also would have loved to have seen him in this one, but it looks like he's out. He sat out against Denver and they couldn't get a rebound there, so that's a bit of a problem. But I'm kind of with you. Doncic has had a way of owning the Clippers here over the last couple of seasons. Did you see his PRA is 58? 58. Eight. So what is he got to do? He's going to go and drop what, 35? It's unbelievable. He is a one-man wrecking machine, but he's going to need somebody else to step up. Otherwise, I'm with you here. How are you going to compete against the depth of this Lakers team? You can't.
No, you can't. And is Doncic, maybe this is a year where he, you know, gets the MVP in his back pocket, you know, that's kind of eluded him for the last couple of years. He's trending that way, to say the least.
Guy is a absolute machine here, and he does a great job of elevating the other guys around him. So maybe this is the night here that they can get it done. All right, Zeno, appreciate it. I hope you didn't burn the food here tonight for the kids. We always appreciate you showing up here. We'll see you again, of course, tomorrow, Game Time Decisions. We will be right back here. Get you ready for the tip-off next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in as Game Time Decisions. Looking to wrap up this very first hour. Much more still to get to here as we are awaiting opening tip-off here in college hoops. Looking very forward to these games, getting ready to start. Baylor at Duke, number 10 versus number 21, getting ready to go in the 7 o'clock hour. We have some interesting mid-major schools that are going to be going at it here. Delaware taking on Rider. Don't look now, we might have a live dog with Ryder here tonight, getting themselves 10 points. And St. Louis, the Billigans, taking on NC State. Another good mid-major versus a Power 5 there. And then, of course, UConn, Seton Hall. We're going to have updates for you on that game and keeping you posted, because as much as I hate to say it, I think Shaheen Holloway and Seton Hall here have a good opportunity to maybe make this very uncomfortable for Hurley and UConn, the defending champs here tonight. I think it's going to be a great, great matchup. Also, Xavier and the Johnnies getting ready to go. So the Big East off and running, should be an awful lot of fun here. And one other game I didn't mention earlier that we'll keep an eye on. How about Arizona State taking on Northwestern? Arizona State got absolutely embarrassed by TCU over the weekend, just when we thought the other Hurley brother actually might have something cooking there with the Sun Devils. They got totally embarrassed. And then, of course, Northwestern follows up their big Purdue win by throwing up all over themselves here and losing a ridiculous matchup. Can they bounce back against Arizona State? That's coming up at 8:30. We'll cover all of these games for you, get you ready for the NBA slate, and we'll talk a little Thursday night football coming up this hour. A lot to get you caught up with, especially who's playing quarterback. We'll play that game coming up next year as Game Time Decisions continues on The Grid.